Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome again to Lehem Panim. It's good to have you with us today as we seek the Lord Jesus Christ, our bread and our life, in and through study of His Word today. Just recently, I read of three small siblings who had a pet sparrow, which to everyone's disappointment died, and the children were very, very sad, and so they decided to give the dead bird a really good burial service. And their families were faithful members of the church, and so the children had some ideas of how to go about it. And the first step was to dig the grave in a carefully chosen spot in a corner of the yard. And then they solemnly prepared for the actual interment, and one child held the sparrow over the grave, and another recited, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and in the hole he goes." Now, sadly, I'm sorry to say, the knowledge of many people regarding the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit often does not rise too much above that child's understanding. Every week, my family and I, we have movie nights on Fridays. And not long ago, we watched one of the new Disney movies, Encanto. And it was very fun, very entertaining. The music was very memorable. And one of the songs is "We Don't Talk About Bruno." And that's the refrain that you hear over and over again. "We don't talk about Bruno, no, no." I mean, it's very catchy, no matter how much you might want to let it go, let it go, I don't know. But, you know, in thinking about it, I feel that if you were to replace the word Bruno with Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, the song would be fairly accurate. "We don't talk about the Holy Ghost, no, 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 no." And I wonder why that is. I think for many of us, we just don't understand the Holy Spirit. We get the Father, at least we think we do, though I think our understanding of Him is also very warped at times. We think we get the Son, though honestly, if you don't understand the Father, you won't understand the Son either, who came to reveal to us the Father. But the Holy Spirit is the one that I feel we understand the least. Who is the Holy Spirit? What role does the Holy Spirit have to play in our day-to-day lives? Those are questions I hope to be able at least to scratch the surface in answering today. And our passage today provides the perfect opportunity to do so, because here in Acts 19, verses 1 through 7, we find Paul, now on his third missionary journey, coming back to Ephesus and encountering a group of men who through him receive the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 1, "And it happened that while Apollos," whom we talked about last week, "was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus." Now, Ephesus was the capital, the leading business center of the Roman province of Asia. It was part of present-day Turkey. And it was a hub of sea and land transportation. And it ranked with Antioch in Syria and Alexandria in Egypt as one of the great cities on the Mediterranean Sea. And it's here that Paul would be staying for a little over 2 years and would write his first letter to the Corinthians in order to help them counter some of the problems that they were facing. And we'll see later that during Paul's imprisonment in Rome, Paul will write a letter to the Ephesian church, the book of Ephesians. And so we see that Paul, he keeps his promise that he made back in chapter 18, verse 21, to return to the Ephesian church. But when he had left them, remember, they had been spiritually hungry to hear more. And now that he's returning, he's hoping that the Jews there will still be spiritually hungry. And when he arrives, it says in the rest of verse 1, there he found some disciples. And then it says, "And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, the answer to this question is absolutely critical because it is the Holy Spirit who marks us as believers in Christ. Paul, in fact, writes to the Ephesians, saying in Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, "In him," meaning Jesus, "you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." Now, in addition to sealing us and marking us as children of God, the Holy Spirit also has another role. Not only does he mark us as believers and children of God, but he is the one who sanctifies us, who remolds and reshapes us into the very image of Jesus, leading us out of the old way of the flesh into the new way of the Spirit. Paul writes of this very clearly in Galatians chapter 5, when he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Now, these disciples, they did not yet have this holy-making Spirit in their lives. And so it says, "And they said to Paul, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Into what then were you baptized?' They said, 'Into John's baptism.'" And so Paul, he comes to this group of disciples who we see have some kind of faith, but it's a faith that's incomplete. Because not only had they not heard of what had happened at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit being given, but they say that they have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, this doesn't mean that they had not heard of the Holy Spirit, or even that they were not expecting the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. No, they would have known about the Holy Spirit through the Old Testament, which has very clear teachings about the Holy Spirit of God, and also promises that he will one day be poured out on his people, as it says in Joel 2:28. But they also would have known about the Holy Spirit in and through John the Baptist, whom verse 3 says they were baptized by, because he said very clearly that the Messiah, the Lamb of God, would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so all this phrase means is that they were simply ignorant of the fact that this expectation had been realized at Pentecost. They were Old Testament saints who were still waiting for that promised gift of God, having no idea that it had actually already come. In fact, F.F. Bruce translates their answer, "We never even heard that the Holy Spirit is available." And so these men were disciples of John the Baptist who had received John's baptism, that outward sign of repentance from sin, but which was not a sign, as baptism is now, of new life in Christ. John's baptism looked forward in anticipation to the atoning work of Christ and to the coming of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it looks back at the atoning work of Christ, resting on its completion. Well, these men, they had apparently believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but like Apollos, they needed to come to understand the significance of his death, of his resurrection, of his ascension, and, of course, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so it says, "And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus." Now, I find it very interesting here that Paul doesn't explain to them about what it means to receive the Holy Spirit. No, he instead talks to them about the person of Jesus. And that's for two reasons, because first of all, like we already talked about, they already knew who the Holy Spirit was. They were anticipating his coming. But secondly, and this is what is key for us, Paul begins with Jesus because it's only in and through Jesus that we can receive the Holy Spirit. You have to start with Jesus because it's in and through his atoning work alone that we're reconciled to God, that we're given the Holy Spirit and consequently transformed by the Holy Spirit into the very likeness of Christ. That's why if you have somebody in your life who's living in darkness, who's making bad choices, who seems bent on self-destruction, and I've known people like this, the best thing you can do is bring them to Jesus. Draw them to Christ with your words, with your actions. Inspire them to Christ with your testimony of what he's done for you. Drive them to Christ with your prayers. Whatever it takes, if you can get that person to Jesus, he can reconcile them to himself and give them the one, the only one, the Holy Spirit of God, who has the power to change their heart. And that's what Paul does right here. And it says they believe. It says on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. Now, this doesn't mean that speaking in tongues is necessary for salvation. But in the book of Acts, for every people group that received Christ, it was given as an outward sign in order to both ease the spread of the gospel, but also as a sign to the church that God was the one bringing this new people group into the fold of God. And in each case, we'll see that apostles are present to verify that all received the same Holy Spirit in the same way. And that having been completed, Paul could write now to the Ephesians, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." From then on, the Holy Spirit would come to every heart at salvation, as the epistles show us. But, you know, I find it amazing how the Holy Spirit, who was the means of bringing the church together in the book of Acts, has since become the center of much controversy, much division. And what's worse, in our day and age, perhaps because we don't really understand the Holy Spirit, who he is, and what he can do in us, we neglect him. We know he's there, and we acknowledge him occasionally, but we don't know what it means to truly know the one who abides in us and be fully surrendered to him. And what's so scary to me about the modern church, as somebody I read recently pointed out, is the fact that our churches are so rigidly programmed that it seems we need no longer depend on him. But remember, Jesus said, you know, without me, you can do nothing. The late Dr. A.W. Tozer, author and pastor, he said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. But he says if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. Let me ask you this. Do you truly know the presence of God's Holy Spirit in your life? Are you abiding in constant communion with Him and allowing Him to keep you in God's holy way? Once a committee of ministers in a certain city was discussing the possibility of having Dwight L. Moody to serve as the evangelistic preacher during a citywide evangelistic campaign. And finally, one young minister who did not want to invite Dwight L. Moody, he stood up and said, "Why Moody? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And there was silence. And then an old godly minister spoke up, "No, he does not have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Dwight L. Moody." Let me ask you, does the Holy Spirit have a monopoly on your life? Do you have the Holy Spirit? If not, He's available to you right now in and through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you are already a believer, is the Holy Spirit more than just in you? Are you fully given over to Him in utter and complete surrender? If not, give yourself to Him today. Let Him have a monopoly on your life. And in the world, He will make you like Jesus Christ and use you in amazing ways. Surrender to Him today. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.